Have you ever been told that you were stubborn, uncoachable, flat out unleadable? OMG, have you ever felt given up on? Well, what happens to the people that feel that way? And who helps those that are essentially tossed out and told that they have no future? Let's talk about it. Hey y'all, what's up? What's happening? It's Robert Kennedy III, RK3. That's me, and welcome to another episode of the What's My Story podcast. You know, the show where we talk about how I got from there to here, where we talk about pivotal moments in people's lives that show how they navigated their path to success. I'm so glad that you're here with me again today for another fantastic episode, because we've got great guests. We always do, and we love learning from the stories that they share with us. Do me a favor. If you want to know what's upcoming and what's happening in our space, text me right here. Right there. Text me 410-936-4049. 410, I'm fumbling over my numbers right here, but it's okay. I hope you can read right there, because it's right there. 410-936-4049 to figure out what's happening in our world. And I'm hoping that I can figure out my words and figure out my stuff today. Yeah. All right. So as we say every week as well, if you want to gain visibility, if you are a small business owner and you want to make sure that your world, the world, knows a little bit more about your story, and you want to be able to get in front of your ideal audience, you want to figure out how to attract them, do me a favor. Join us in the Storytellers Growth Lab. Head on over to storytellersgrowthlab.com and just click that join community button, and you can join us. Lastly, we've got some stuff that's coming up, and I really want to share this with you. We have the Story to Stage Summit, and we don't have all of the advertising ready for that yet. You'll see that in just a few days. However, if you want to get on the list, if you want to get on the waiting list to be added to this summit, we want you to text Story to Stage to 410-936-4049. Story to Stage, no spaces, okay? Story to Stage to 410-936-4049. If you want to figure out how to develop your story, how to discover your story, if you want to figure out your brand story for not just yourself, but for your business, if you want to figure out how to take your story to a stage, and what are some of those stages? Podcasts, YouTube, Instagram. You know, if you want to figure out how to broadcast and create greater visibility for your brand and yourself and your products, whatever it is, you want to be able to figure that out by attending the Story to Stage Summit. It's going to be 2 days, February 22nd and 23rd. We've got some phenomenal presenters. And so I want you to get on the waiting list and be a part of that. Text Story to Stage, no spaces, to 410-936-4049. All right. Well, listen, we have a fantastic episode and fantastic guest, and let's get started with that. My guest today is Kyle Gillette, and he grew up on an orange farm in Central Valley, California, in the Central Valley of California. I don't know what I was going to say Napa Valley, but that's grapes. That's wine. All right. Well, when he grew up on this farm, he discovered the importance of hard work and what it's like to be a son in a family-owned business. Man, you've got some expectations there, huh? Right? And what it takes to run one. So now he helps business owners figure out how to go from good to great. He's the author of Life Map, Building a Future When You're Lost in the Present. And he's the creator of the Sage Leadership Mindset. Welcome to the show, Kyle. What's your story, my friend?
Hey, thank you. Great intro, and I love what you're doing with the story to stage stuff. That sounds really interesting. So I'll have to text you, and I'll get the number right.
Yes, absolutely. Well, listen, I'm a former musician myself, so I see a little bit of a guitar happening in the background there. What are you playing recently? What are you playing today?
Not much. I'm playing business lately, so I've picked it up recently because my daughters, we had a music-themed Christmas, and so my daughters got ukuleles and some drum tubes, and so I've been playing the ukulele a little bit and picked up the guitar because I felt guilty about it, but I'm nowhere near where I could be if I concentrate on it.
That's a nice decoration, though. It may, you know, it's some interest in the background there.
For sure. I wish there was more talent, but I also need to give it more time to get there.
My goodness. So listen, we talked about your growing up on an orange farm. I said Napa Valley, but tell me a little bit about this whole growing up on an orange farm in Cali. What was that like?
Yeah, so my dad started, it's called Gillette Citrus, in the 1981, I believe, is when he started. It was the year my sister was born, which was crazy. When I learned that, I thought, wow, my dad started a business in 81 where he had a newborn daughter and recently graduated from college, and he just went for it, which for business owners out there, you know that that's scary, very scary, because there was no guaranteed income. There was none of that going on. He was bootstrapping his own business. Eventually, my uncle came along too, but yeah, he started that. And then I grew up on 40 acres out in the middle of orange groves and rode my bike and rode quads and enjoyed life. Had a great time.
Wow. So you were pretty much born into this business, and what were some of the things as a kid that you saw that really alerted you to some of the different ups and downs or the challenges of business?
Yeah, so in the orange industry, freezing temperatures are a really bad thing. It ultimately ruins the fruit, and so in the middle of the winters, I would see my dad up at one in the morning. Well, I wouldn't see him, I'd sleep, but I would see the effects of him being up at one in the morning through till early in the mid-morning, and then he'd sleep in the middle of the day, and then have to get back to work anyway. So he'd work 18, 19, 20-hour days sometimes in the winter. And I also saw the effects of how much he studied and how hard he worked to get the best he could at his craft. I can see him sitting in his green lazy boy chair with a book in his hand while we're watching TV, and he's just reading book after book, trying to learn his craft and also learn the world, because you need to know the world when it comes to business, and that's what he would do. So that was instilled into me, that learning mentality, that constantly pressing into things. And I guess the other thing that really jumps out is he was always up early, you know, five in the morning, five thirty in the morning, just getting going and grinding away at work. But he loved the job and he still loves the job today, which is remarkable after as many years as he's been doing it.
Yeah. So how did that influence your perception of what it's like to own a business? I know some of what you do now is coaching business owners. So in your mind, seeing this, seeing the way that your dad operated, you know, how did you envision, you know, what was business supposed to be like for you?
Yeah, it took me a while to realize that vacation is okay. It's okay to take a break. You know, take a weekend and not focus at all, or try not to think at all about your business.
Yeah.
But it really helped me to see that work is something that's going to make you and get you results, but you have to be consistent and you have to go after it. And so for me, that's created this opportunity for me to do some writing, to get coaching clients, to continue to produce over and over again without really feeling the burden of the work, because I grew up with the idea that you just work, you get the work done, and you keep grinding. And as a result of being loyal and honest and consistent in your work, you're going to get results. And that's kind of what happened for me.
Wow. So we started out the show asking about people who were uncoachable, unleadable. And you have this place in your story where you were introduced to a men's mentoring program. Tell us about the background of that. What was it that caused you to be introduced to this program in the first place?
Yeah, so this was back when I was 22 years old, and I was in college, and I was a kinesiology major at Cal Poly. I don't know if people are familiar with Cal Poly or not. It's out on the coast of California.
So before you go further, tell people what on earth a kinesiology major is.
Sure. So kinesiology means the study of movement. And so the way people can remember it is exercise science or physical education, PE teacher.
Okay.
My goal at the time was to become a physical therapist. And did some things that helped me realize that's not what I wanted to do. But I remember a particular conversation I had with my parents the week before, a couple days before, I went on a hike with my friends. And there's this peak called Bishop's Peak in San Luis Obispo. It's this really beautiful view of the whole surrounding area. It's just gorgeous. You can even see the Pacific Ocean from the top of the mountain. So people climbed it all the time, and I climbed it all the time. And some friends and I decided that we're going to go off trail instead of stay on trail. Well, the result of that was I got covered in poison oak, and I'm pretty dang allergic to poison oak. So I was from ankle to neck covered in poison oak. It was terrible, super itchy, but it was a metaphor for where I was in life. Because at the time, I was living in an apartment with some friends, having a good time, but I was 30 pounds overweight, very confused about what I was going to do with my future. And I was on the phone with my parents, sitting at this big desk in the apartment, in a chair similar to this one I have, this executive chair, just sitting there going, Mom, Dad, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm behind in school because somehow I messed up on my units, and so I was behind in school. And I was never very good at school. And so I was terrifying. Ultimately, I was just terrified. And I had to make up a ton of time and didn't know what to do, but I just continued to work, decided to quit eating sugar, decided to change my diet. So that helped me big time. And prior to that experience, hiking, prior to the conversation with my parents, I'd gone on a trip to Mission to India with my church, and there was a guy named John on that trip from the church as well, and we connected really well, and he found out that I was looking for work after college and trying to figure out what to do with myself, and he called me up and said, hey, would you be interested in interviewing at this mentoring program? And so I'll pause there for the story, but that was the point. I was just this complete dumpster fire of a human being in the moment, and very lost.
Wow. So you are at this place, you're lost, and you get involved in this group. I'm assuming at the prompting of John a little bit. And inside of this group, it's kind of like one of those, not Bad News Bears, but maybe misfits or people who are thought of in a certain way. So tell us what kind of clicks for you in this group that now makes you decide, okay, yeah, I need to do something a little bit different in my space, or I need to do something different with my life, because you're coming from the space of, oh my gosh, I have no idea where I want to go. I have no idea what I want to do. What is it that causes things to click or change gears for you a little bit here?
So he invited me to interview to be what's called a house leader at the program, and basically you lived in this facility with up to six other guys plus another house leader, and you helped them, those guys, get their lives on track. And so the executive director and the president of the program invited me to an interview, and I remember driving onto the facility. It was a 40-acre property with this creek that ran through it. You drive over this bridge, and then as soon as you cross the bridge, there's these chain link fences with dogs barking at you because they ran a pet resort to support the program. And then you drive in a little further, and there's this idyllic view of this house built in 1885. So it's this beautiful square white farm house with a wraparound porch and steps leading up to it. So I park my Honda Civic next to the American flag, and I'm like, wow, this place is just perfect. Hop out, and I walk into this room, and it's a little bit grungy. It's this living room that's kind of grungy with this giant entertainment center. I don't know if you remember the entertainment centers from the 80s. They're just huge, and you put those big box TVs in them. So I had that on the shelves, and blue couch. I sit down on this blue couch, and the other two gentlemen are across from me, and there's a table in front of us. So I sit down in the interview, and it's like about an hour-long interview, and about 30 minutes or so in, I feel like my body is being pulled into the couch, just sucked in, pulled in, like this is where you belong, is what the experience was in that moment. And just towards the end of the interview, the president asked me, so Kyle, do you want this job? Like, wait a second, I just met you, I'm just interviewing with you, and I hardly know anything about this. That's what's running through my head. But then I answered, I said, well, I feel like the couch is pulling me to stay. And then I accepted the job right on the spot. And so what that meant was I gave up my living situation. I moved in to live with these guys that were quote misfits, out of sorts in life. And I helped them learn life skills and job skills. But it was a crazy experience. I belonged. And then I stayed there for the next nine years doing various things. And we can go into that later.
So I want to ask this question, and we're going to take a break before you answer it. But how do you help misfits when you yourself feel like a misfit? I want you to hold on to that. Let's take a quick commercial break.
Are you a content creator, speaker, or thought leader? Do you pull your hair out every time you try to edit a video? Or get really disappointed when your videos don't get the views you're hoping for? It's okay to admit that you need help. If you're ready to stop wasting time and start spreading your message, it's nice to meet you. I'm Kayla O'Brien of Kayla O'Brien Media. I help creators in a variety of businesses get a foolproof game plan for their video content. Does that sound like something you want? No matter where you're starting from today, you need to know what your goals are, how to get the highest production value, and how to edit your content to fit correctly on each platform. No matter what your budget, there are options that can help you get started today. If you're ready to take your content creation experience from this to this, visit KaylaO'BrienMedia.com and let's connect.
Kayla O'Brien Media, if you want to make sure that your business or your video goes from good to great, if you want to make sure that maybe your video goes from non-existent to excellent and impactful, make sure that you contact Kayla O'Brien at KaylaO'BrienMedia.com. She'll get you right. Let's jump back into this story with Kyle. So, Kyle, you are leading this group of people, or you're given this job to work with people who are seen as uncoachable, unleadable, misfits in some way. But yet, you kind of felt the same way, mentally at least, in your own life. So how does somebody who's seen or thinks or feels like a misfit lead other people who are already labeled misfits?
Yeah, I think the very short answer is you act like you don't. You act like you're not a misfit. You act like you haven't figured it out. And fortunately, I had some fantastic mentorship during the whole time I was at that program. For nine years, I was mentored every single, I think it was Tuesday, if I remember correctly. Every Tuesday, I'd have lunch with the president of the program, and he would mentor me throughout the whole thing. And it's just remarkable to have that type of support, let's call it. But for me, I admitted that I don't have all the answers for these guys. A lot of them came in with drug and alcohol histories, and I really have hardly any of that in my background. And so they came in with addictions that I had no idea, I didn't understand them. They came in with alcohol situations and abuse and problems with family and stuff like that, that I had really no experience with. So I felt very out of place. But I was a stabilizing force for them, and the thing that I learned, probably one of the biggest lessons was listening. Because I didn't have the answers, one of my only choices was to listen and to go to resources that did have answers for them. So books, videos, conferences, that kind of stuff that they could participate in and I could help facilitate. But we used to do this thing called 10-Minute Tuesdays. There's a student, we'll call him Joe, and at one point I was asking him to clean up a bathroom, and he was taking forever to clean up the bathroom. So I walked around the outside of that White House I was referring to and knocked on the window and said, Joe, I need a broom, I need to sweep too. And he flipped me off, and then kept on sweeping, and then I knocked on the window again, and then he looked at me, and he just growled or scowled or something, and then he slammed his fist through the window, hit my face with glass, and cut his hand pretty bad.
So he and I didn't really see eye to eye, but the beauty of it was every Tuesday, he and I and other students one-to-one would meet in a room and sit on this futon about four feet apart,
and I'd ask him, how's your day? How are you doing? And the other guys would talk to me and tell me what's going on, but he wouldn't. So the first time I asked that question, set a timer for 10 minutes, and we sat there in silence for 10 minutes. It was the longest 10 minutes of my entire life. The next week rolls around, we do it again. I ask the question. I ask the question again. We sit there for 10 minutes. He doesn't respond. I almost gave up. I was like, "What? This isn't going to work. This guy's never going to talk to me." The third time we sit down, I ask him a question. After like a minute or so, he starts to talk to me. And he opens up. And then that was the beginning of a relationship with this guy that had terrible abuse in his life. He didn't have any of the drug or alcohol history, but he had some terrible abuse. So he was very, very quiet. In a given week, he might say 100 words. He's so quiet. But then he opened up to me. And later I would see him in his hometown. And I didn't know that he was there. I was at a fair or something like that. And he just said, "Kyle," and he ran up to me and gave me a big hug. Wow. So from breaking glass over my face to giving me a hug, listening was the biggest thing for me in that program. I finally learned how to shut up and pay attention to what's going on with the person, not only in their words, but their actions.
Wow. So this is fantastic. This is amazing. How do you then, or how does this program lead you to the foundation of what it is that you're doing now? Because now you move on from mentoring young or troubled misfits into mentoring, in some ways, business owners who may feel like misfits, have no idea what they're doing or how to grow from one stage to the next. So how did this program really, really form the foundation for you?
Yeah, so there was three questions that we asked the guys. Every one of them had to answer these three questions based on six areas of life. And I won't go into all the details, but they had to answer those three questions in order to leave the program and create a six-month plan answering those questions. So the primary questions were, where am I? Where do I want to go? And how do I get there? So similar to what we're talking about on the show and your kind of your tagline a little bit there.
Yeah.
And in the middle of being in this program, my wife and I met my wife, got married, we had a child and then had another child. And my oldest was starting to get to the age where she's going to need to go to school. And we decided that we didn't want our kids to go to school in that area. And I had to decide between my family and her family, basically where we're going to move. Because her family was up in Washington where we are. And then my family was in the Central Valley. Long story short, made the decision to move up here. But when I made that decision, I said in my heart, and I said to God, I said, if I'm going to have the type of, if we're going to move, I want to have the type of impact that I'm having with these men on people in Washington. Right? That was my heart's desire. And so with that in my heart, we moved. We moved up to Washington. I didn't have a job. My wife didn't have a job, but we had a place to live because we stayed with landlords for a few months. And we sold our house in the area, so we had some finances. But that was the heart behind the move, because it just made sense to be closer to her family. But also, I wanted to have the impact that I had down there up here as well.
Wow. So you've got this program now that kind of came out of all of that, and I know from personal experience about what it means to be somewhere with a family with young kids and not have employment or not have a job and kind of having to create your own thing. So tell us a little bit about what you begin to do now. You leave your comfort zone, as it were, and now you're in this new space. Yeah, you've got a place to live, you've got shelter, but you know, you're a dad, you're a father, you're a husband, you're a man, and you're kind of like, okay, what's next? So what do you begin to do now?
So it felt like and it was roughly 10 years since that conversation I had with my parents, I felt like I was back square one because I applied to 50 jobs before I finally landed an opportunity to work at a senior living facility. And then that was a terrible, terrible experience. And so I quit that job after like 4 or 5 months. And then I applied for 40 more jobs. And then I finally got a job working at a church as an HR director. So it's a big church in the area that's like 3,000 members. And so it was lots of responsibility. So it was a great opportunity to, you know, shape my chops as relates to leadership and all that kind of stuff. But after working there for a couple years, I had gotten exposed to the assessment world. And if your audience is familiar with DISC, they'll know that DISC is a really powerful tool for leadership development and hiring all kinds of things. And I happen to be pretty naturally gifted at using that tool, very intuitive with people. And so I went, wait a second, what if I took this tool and started workshops, trainings, coaching around it or with it so that I can run a business based on this? And so I did. I started a business based on that thought, signed a couple five-figure contracts, which was, you know, amazing to me to start that way. And partway through the first few months of the business, I realized that I can't just rely on a tool that's not my own, and I needed to create my own tool. And I went back to the thought of, I want to make the impact that I had on the people in the Alpha Academy, that program I was a part of, through my business. And instead of students that are 18 and 25 years old, I wanted to impact business owners, entrepreneurs that felt lost in the present, and they wanted to get clarity around their future and the future of their business, all that world. And so I started to work on a leadership acronym because I love acronyms. It makes things for me a lot easier to remember. And I'd spent probably 3 months trying to come up with something, and nothing came to me. It kept on being acronyms that didn't make any sense, like two S's, a T and a R. And it wasn't going to be memorable. But I knew I wanted support. I knew I wanted accountability and a couple other things.
Yeah.
And one night, my wife was working. She's a nurse, and she was doing the night shift. So I'm laying in bed by myself, asleep. And I wake up and I hear a voice that says self-awareness. And I go, oh my gosh, that's it. And so I jump out of bed, just in my boxers. I run to the kitchen, and I'm sitting at the kitchen table shivering as I'm scribbling down the beginning of the SAGE leadership framework. And that was the impetus to start my business as it is now, and also all the things that I've done as it relates to SAGE since then.
Wow. Wow. So you are at the place where you really help business owners go from good to great. And what is it that you're teaching now that is different from what you learned as a kid watching your dad in his own business? What are some of the differences that you've had to navigate?
Yeah, I think one of the big differences is that what I didn't see about my dad, and now that I know, is the systemization of what he was doing and what business owners need to do as well. I also have learned that mindset is enormous. Your attitude about your goals, your attitude about yourself, about your team, about the industry, all those things matters. And then the habits that you deploy into your leadership and into your business matter as well. And so the work that I'm doing now is kind of a reflection of what my dad did intuitively.
Yeah.
I've just described it out. And it's also a reflection of what a lot of us have done intuitively as well. You know, we develop good mindsets. We develop good habits and bad ones as well. Yeah. And then if you document and track these types of things, then you create systems that are repeatable and also easier to plug new people into those systems to create sustained and reliable, let's call it, success.
Love it. Love it. Love it. Tell us a little bit about what you have going on. I mean, you've got sagemindset.com. We're sending people there. What are some of the things that you do to help people? Where can they find you? And what is the big thing that they need to contact you for to help them? Talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah. So the thing that I'm doing right now is what I call the Sage Business Blueprint. And it's taking the Sage model, and I'll describe it briefly, which is self-awareness, accountability, growth, and empowerment. And the way that I describe the model is it's like a leadership house. You need to have all four of those pillars in your leadership house in order to find success and sustain success in your business. So self-awareness is the foundation to leadership. The stronger that foundation, the more reinforced it is, the more impactful your leadership can be. Accountability is the nails that holds everything together. Without accountability, your leadership house is going to crumble. I don't care how good you are at everything else. Without that accountability, it's going to fall apart. Growth is the roof and the walls. So this is the structure of your leadership. It is what people come under. It is the protection that they have by being under you. It is the support that they have by being under you. And then finally, empowerment's the windows and doors. And this gives people the opportunity to see into your leadership, step into your leadership. But also, if you're doing a great job leading, you're going to give them opportunities to see out of your leadership and step out of your leadership and do their own thing. And so for me, what I'm doing is helping people walk through this three-phase process of understanding themselves as a leader. Who are they as a leader? What do they need to do as a leader to succeed? Understanding the accountability that they need to get into place for themselves and for their business. building the systems so that their business can grow, and then ultimately empowering themselves and those around them to make this whole three-phase process repeatable. Because once you grow a little bit, you need to start all over again and look at, okay, who am I now that I've gotten to this phase? What do I need to do with my goals now that I'm at this phase? How does my accountability change? What growth, what systems are going to change so I can continue to grow myself and my business? So on and so forth, right? So it's this really fun, iterative, repeated process that guarantees results because you're tracking everything along the way. So this program is designed for entrepreneurs that are looking to grow their business. And maybe they've hit this snag of, I've put this work in, but it's not getting anywhere, or they're overwhelmed and overworked, like so many small business owners, unfortunately. Yeah. And then I help them to pull that all back and to focus on what's most important so they can get to that goal of business growth and time freedom.
I love it. I love it. Kyle, it's been fantastic having you on the show, man. I love all of the information that you've shared, and I've loved seeing the growth in your story from the orange farm to, I was going to try to come up with something clever, to the sage farm. I don't know. All right. But listen, hang out in the green room for a couple of seconds while we wrap up this episode. Listen, it is a fantastic thing when you can understand that life doesn't end in one place. When you have a perception or you have a perspective at one piece of life, and then you're able to grow and see that perspective come to bear, or see that perspective shift. It's amazing when you're in a space where maybe you label yourself one way and others label you that way as well. When you're able to open up or be able to see something new, some new possibility, some new potential for yourself, and maybe even like Kyle, hear a voice that says, this is the way that you should go. It's a new year. It's 2022. And if you are a little bit confused, if you lack a little bit of clarity, if things seem a bit cloudy to you, I just want to encourage you to hang in there. I just want to encourage you to seek mentorship. I want to encourage you to look for that guide, that mentor, that Sherpa that can help you navigate the way to your better story. And don't worry about the story. Don't worry about the experiences. There may be a little bit of pain. There may be a little bit of frustration. There may be a little bit of hurt in some of it. But all of that comes together because, as we say at the end of every episode, everything that happens to you in life is your stuff. Your stuff is your story, and your story deserves a stage. Tell somebody. I'll see you on the next episode of the What's My Story podcast. Peace. What's my story? How'd I get here?